Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
And we never go to church, you know this, to hear from a man or a woman, from young or from old. We go to church to hear from God. So right now I'd like to invite Chloe Roth. Yes, my daughter, but a minister in her own right. Would you come to the stage and tell us about Jesus?
Hello, hello, Rock Church. Oh, you guys are so sweet. Well, you all can just take a seat. I am so excited to just be in the house tonight. This is my first time speaking in the main. I have spoken in the children's ministry since I was about 14 years old, doing the Bible story there. I spoke in the youth last year. I'll be speaking in young adults at the end of this month. And so they invited me to come and to speak here tonight. And I was like, are you sure? Like, you really want me to do that? Like, is it time for that, Lord? And he was like, yep, push me in the deep end. And so we're here tonight. But I just want to take a moment and I just want to honor those who have set the stage here tonight and set just this house up, not only for each and every one of us, but just for me as a minister and as a leader. And so I just want to honor my grandparents, Jim and Deborah Cobray, who built this church, who laid its foundations, who sought the Lord, who prayed and heard what he said and were obedient and honored him. And so they have laid the foundation for each and every one of us here. And I just can't move on without honoring them for the work that they've done in my life personally, but also just for each and every person here. Thank you, Nana. I love you. And also I would love to honor my parents, Pastor Dan and Jessica. You guys are just incredible leaders. You're not just my parents, you're also my pastors, and every weekend I get to come and sit and receive from you guys, and I know that everyone here is just blessed by your work, and so I'm just honored to just come from just amazing ministers, humble leaders who just seek God diligently. The way that they are at home is the way they are in front of you guys. Nothing changes, you know. They're here on stage telling you how to live your lives and honor to the Lord and the way he wants you. And they do the exact same thing at home with us. And so I'm just so blessed to have that and to share in that with each and every one of you. And so I just also want to honor our pastoral staff from children's ministry all the way up through young adults, all the way up through our other ministries to our senior ministry, Pastor Mike and Sue, Pastor Mari and Michelle, Pastor Teresa, Dr. Kobernick, Pastor Joe and Joanna, Pastor Donnie, Pastor Antonio. And then we have Terrence, we have Aaron coming in as new ministers, Pastor Melissa, Pastor Brian. You guys are all just incredible. You've all poured into my life. And these are the people doing the work. These are the people who are praying day in and day out for you guys. Your hearts and souls matter to them. They matter to us here at The Rock. And so we are so grateful that you guys just come and trust us with your souls. And so we're just going to get into the Word of God tonight. I'm so excited for what he has. And so as my dad was saying, I'm over at Vanguard now. Shout out Vanguard University. And yeah, some of my friends are over here, some fellow students who went with me out there. And so we love it. God is just doing something incredible out there. I just see him working here, see him working out there in the greater body of Christ. And so one of the things I love about Vanguard is its proximity to home. See, I'm someone who loves home. So I oftentimes come home on the weekends and my parents are always like, you're never here. And then my friends at school are like, you go home every weekend. And so this is weird push and pull. Never know if I'm like always home or always at school. I'm always being told a different thing. But I come home and sure enough, every single weekend, my dad has one question for me. And he asks, is your homework done? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's never done, right? Because it's not like high school where you could just like get your busy work done and then push it to the side. There's always another assignment, right? There's always another paper. There's always another book. There's always another thing that has to happen before you can move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. You really don't get a break until your actual break, like Christmas or summer. And that's why we crash so hard. And so it's just this consistent, continual cycle of homework, 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 homework. And on top of that, jobs and assignments and ministry and the other things that we have going on. And so I oftentimes find myself in this place, and maybe you find yourself here too in your life, where you're like, gosh, I'm just so busy all the time. There's always something on my mind. There's always someone needing my attention. There's always, you know, something that needs to get done, a deadline coming up. Maybe you have a family and you're like, oh, there's always something that I'm thinking about. The kids need this. They need that. Maybe you're in school and you're feeling what I'm saying. You're like, gosh, it just never ends. I'm trying to get this degree. I'm trying to get this diploma. I'm trying to just make it through. And whatever it is that you have in your life, I know that there's oftentimes where we find ourselves caught up in the busyness of life. And so these are the moments where we can lose sight of what God has for us. And so I was praying and I was asking and I was saying, Lord, what is it you have for the Rock Church tonight? And he said, you have a story and I want you to share it with them. And so tonight I want to share with you this journey that God took me on a few months ago. And it's a beautiful journey. And he spoke some things to me that I believe he wants to speak to your heart tonight. So if you'll just press in, if you'll just let go of the distractions for just a moment and just lean into what he has here, I believe God wants to speak something unique and special to your hearts that if you apply it, can deepen and strengthen your walk with the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
So let's dive in. So it was September. I was on this high. Ministry was going. School was going. RockCon had just happened. I had just gotten asked to speak at a church for the first time. And I'm going, oh my gosh, God. Like, whoa, I'm just in awe of what you're doing. And I was like, yeah, we're gonna go, right? I'm like going a million miles per hour. And I'm like, okay, I got this assignment. I got this thing and I got that paper to do. And I'm going to classes and I'm doing my Monday night ministry at school. And I'm thinking about my future. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what's gonna happen, but we're gonna do it. And I'm, you know, talking this fast in my head, probably a little faster. And so I'm going. And on top of that, I decide to get a second job. And so I go back to this company that I'd been working with for a while, and it's a children's athletics company. We would go into elementary schools, do some sports with them, and so it's my first day back in a while. I haven't been with them, and I'm at work with another coach, and we're going to do a pickleball clinic for these kids, and so we're going through drills with them, teaching them how to hit it, teaching them how to serve, teaching them, you know, the back and forth, and so by the end of the time, they're like, okay, we're just going to let the kids kind of rally and go back and forth. Well, we're on this, like, open, like, asphalt area, and so these kids are just whacking these balls, and these balls don't belong to the school, they're ours, and so I'm running after every single ball. And I'm like, we can't lose this ball. I'm going to get, like, charged, you know. And so I'm, like, running. And I'm, like, stopping it with my foot as I'm running. And I'm like, don't go away. And so I'm trying to get these balls. And so by the end of my shift, I'm running after this ball. And I'm going and I'm going and I'm going. And my foot doesn't go in front of the ball. It goes on top of the ball. And it rolls over, full body weight, full motion. And I hear this loud crack. And I was running, and so I kind of stopped like this, and I'm like, something's wrong. And I'm like, do I move? Like, I'm knowing, like, pain is going to shoot through my foot the moment I move, and so I'm just standing here for, like, probably 2 minutes, just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I finally yell at my other coach. I'm like, come get me. I don't know what happened. And she's like, are you okay? And so she, like, picks me up and brings me over to the bench. And I'm sitting there. My foot is, like, blowing up. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's my first day back. Like, this is crazy. And so I'm calling my friends. And I FaceTime them. And I'm like, hey, I just broke my foot, I think. I don't know. Can you grab me? Like that casual. It was like, I think I broke something. Can you come pick me up? My friend is on the other side. Like, are you kidding me? Are you okay? Like, what is going on? And so she leaves class. She comes and takes me to urgent care. I go and get an x-ray. Can we put the picture of the x-ray up? So I don't know if you can see it. That little curvy line is not supposed to be there. That is the fracture. And so I fully broke my fifth metatarsal. That's what the doctor told me. And so It's bad. It's swollen like a giant tennis ball on the side of my foot. It's not feeling great. But I'm there and I'm like, okay, what does this mean? And so can we get the next picture of the wrap? They wrap my foot up with a makeshift splint and they're like, okay, so you broke your foot and it's right here. And the doctor, like, pushes her finger into the fracture, and I was like, oh, I felt it, I feel it, okay, and so she pushes her finger in it, and I'm like, it's there, I know, and so she wraps it up. I get back to my dorm, and my first thought as I'm sitting there is, oh, gosh, this is going to slow me down, and this, like, existential dread like falls on me of like, life is going to get so slow. But instead of taking a moment to really process that and pray and get with the Lord, I remembered I had a paper due at 11:59 p.m. that night. And so I had emailed my professor and I got no response. I was like, we're doing this paper right now. So I sit down, I hoist my foot up on the desk, I have my computer on my legs, and chaos is ensuing in my room. I have friends coming in like, what happened? Are you okay? I have people calling me. My mom's like, what's the next step? What are we doing? Do you have a doctor's appointment? And in the middle of this, I'm writing this paper, right? I'm like, and theologically, the Lord said, and like all this stuff. And so I'm writing this paper. People are calling me. People are coming in the room. And I'm just like, we're going to get this done. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this done, you know? And there's one point, Pastor Michelle calls me. She used to work in foot and ankle surgery work. And so she's walking me through the process. And this is how out of touch I was. She's calling me and telling me, hey, honey, so I've seen this before. You may need a screw in your foot. It's going to be a simple surgery. Good recovery. Here's what it's going to look like. And normally this kind of stuff, I would be like, ooh, like freaking out, right? I would be like having like a mental breakdown. And I'm sitting there on the phone and it's on speaker. And my roommate's looking at me because she knows I'm not good with this. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool. All right, screw in my foot. Okay, sounds good. Got it. So what do you want me to ask the doctor? Okay, yes, I will ask them that. Okay, oh, recovery at home? Yeah, of course I'd want to be at home while I'm recovering. And I'm still writing this paper while I'm talking to her. And so I'm just going, and I'm going, and my roommate's like, is she okay? Like, what is happening? And so I'm sitting there, 11:57, foot still up on the desk. I send, submit, and I'm like, yes, it's done. And I look at my foot, and out loud, I'm like, I broke my foot. And my roommate's like, yes, you did. Welcome to reality. And I hadn't slowed down to take a moment to really process what was happening. And I was so frustrated over the next few weeks. And I was like, gosh, God, I was on this fast track. I was literally running around campus getting stuff done, like physically running. And now I can't even walk to the bathroom. Like, what are you doing? And he took me on this journey, and he said, Chloe, I want you to slow down. I want you to sit. I need you to come sit. See, he allowed this thing to happen in my life in order to get my attention and to lock eyes with me and have me lock eyes with him and say, I have some things that I need to teach you, but you have to sit in order to hear it. And so tonight, the Lord is getting your attention. You don't have to break your foot to get this message, okay? You can get it here and now. He's here, and he's saying, if you'll just log in for a second, if you will just give me this time and apply this word to your life, then I can teach you some things that I've been trying to talk to you about. So I went on this journey. I learned what it means to truly sit with God. And so this is a journey that he wants to bring each and every one of us on tonight. And so, being a theology major, I was like, what does sitting mean in the Bible, right? I was like, there's got to be a deeper meaning. And so, I went on my little software that the school gave me, and I looked it up, and I found some actually really cool definitions I want to share with you guys. And so, one of the Bible dictionaries I was looking at, it says, sitting, get this, is the attitude generally assumed in Palestine by those who were engaged in any kind of work. It seems kind of like a paradox, right? Like, yeah. Let me say that one more time. The attitude generally assumed in Palestine by those who were engaged in any kind of work. Well, let's see what it goes on to say. It says, the carpenter saws, planes, and hews with his hand. Adds? I don't know what that is. It's a tool, I'm sure. Sitting on the ground or upon the plank that he's planning. The washerwoman sits by the tub, and in a word, no one stands when it's possible to sit. And I love what Easton's Bible Dictionary says. It says, much work was done while seated. See, I was reading through this and I realized, gosh, what kind of sitting was I doing with the Lord during those 7 weeks? Because it didn't feel like he was calling me to rest, per se. I had to learn to rest. And that was an element of it. But that wasn't the main element or the main thing that he was calling me to in the sitting. And as I was looking and searching, I saw that there's different types of sitting in the Bible, and there's a sitting that denotes humility. There's a sitting that brings you into a place of learning, a sitting that brings you into a place of submission. And these are the things that I would like to talk about here tonight, because these are the lessons that God had to teach me and that I believe he wants to teach you.
Good.
Very good. Yeah.
And so as we sit, we are allowing the Lord to come in. We are allowing for a place of intimacy, connection, and growth with him. And so I want to do something that one of our guest speakers did at Vanguard a few weeks ago. She asked for everybody to follow her in doing a physical motion that was going to help us prepare our spiritual hearts for what it is God was doing. And so for her service, she asked that we would physically lean in to show that we were spiritually leaning into what God has for us. But tonight, I'm going to ask that everybody, if you can, stand right now. And I want you to take a deep breath. Let it out. And I want you to sit back down. I want you to settle in. I want you to let go of the distractions, the tension, the weights, the cares, the worries. I want you to posture yourself in a place where you are sitting, wholly open, wholly focused, ready to hear from the voice of God. So if you need to get your notes out, if you need to get your Bible out, we're going to get into some things tonight, and I'm excited for what God has for us. So whatever it is you need to do to get in that position, I just encourage you, but I'm going to go into prayer, and we're going to get right into it. So if you could bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We surrender our hearts to you, God. Holy Spirit, will you come in and have your way, Lord? Will you speak to our hearts what it is that we need to hear from you? Lord, will you open up your word to us, God? Lord, will the word that you are speaking, Lord, penetrate? Lord, will it bring change, transformation in our lives, God? May mindsets be renewed and set on you, God. May hearts be opened, Lord, fulfilled and renewed, God, in you, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, for just your spirit to settle, Lord. And that, God, as we come and surrender and meet with you, God, that you are here to meet with us. So we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, if you're taking notes, the title for my message tonight is Sit a While, which you all are doing. Good job. Oh, my gosh, you're already there. That's it. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get into it. So I want to tell you a story that is found in Luke 10. We're going to be in verses 38 through 40. And so Luke 10, verse 38 through 40. I'm going to read in the New King James Version, but you can follow along with whatever version you have. Verse number 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" I want to pause right here, because oftentimes we go through the whole story, but I just want to take a moment to look at these two girls and these two characters that we see here. See, Martha was actually doing what society expected of her. She was actually not in a wrong place, right? We oftentimes are saying, "Oh, Martha, like, how dare she be serving while the Lord is there? How dare Martha? We all need to be better," you know? And it's like, no, like, Martha was doing what she was expected to do. She had guests come in her home. Jesus never came alone. Jesus always had a posse with him. And so Jesus comes with all these men into her house, and her job is to feed them. My brothers will bring two friends over, and it's like, oh my gosh, what food do we have left? You know, Jesus had 12. So Martha is like, oh my goodness, let me go make something, right? She's like, I didn't sweep before they came in. It probably stinks in there. Oh, you know, like she's getting the food ready. She's making some bread. She's getting some drinks out to them, right? This is her Lord and Savior. This is how she's honoring him and showing him love. But she's getting caught up in the moment and in the expectations and in the duties and the to-dos of her life. And see, Martha was about to miss a moment with Jesus. Martha was about to prioritize what was expected of her over what was needed of her. But Mary, see, Mary's position was at the feet of Jesus. And actually, this was wrong. This was wrong according to society. See, if you were to sit at the feet of a teacher, and Jesus is often called the teacher and was a teacher to his disciples, and she's sitting here in this place of a disciple. She's sitting here as a student. And women were not allowed to be in this position. This was not a spot that society said, yeah, go ahead. You can go do that. This was not where she was supposed to be. She was not fulfilling the to-do list that she had on her life. And yet, Mary noticed something. See, Mary saw an opportunity, and she sat. Mary determined, you have something that I need. You have something to say. I want to learn from you. And so she took the position and sat down. And this was not what was expected. This was not what was, you know, prescribed by society. But this is the position that she found herself in and she took. And it was so countercultural of her to come and to sit. And yet this is exactly what God is calling each and every one of us to do. See, it may seem countercultural to come and to sit at the feet of Jesus, even just for 10 minutes in the morning, right? The kids have to get off to school. I have to get myself ready. I have work. I have school. I have this. I have that. I have the XYZ amount of time to drive before I even get there. And we tell ourselves that if we don't get up and get going, then we're going to get behind. And it seems so wrong to take a pause, to take a minute, a moment, to stop the hustle, to stop the grind, to stop the action and the doing and the doing and the doing, to just sit. And yet this is exactly what God is inviting us into tonight. He is inviting us and calling us to make sitting with him a part of our intimacy with him. He is asking that we would come and that we would sit down, slow down just enough so that we could come and hear what he has to say to us. See, in order to catch up, we need to slow down. Say that one more time. In order to catch up, we need to slow down. So tonight, we're going to talk about what happens when we sit. There's three things I want to share with you tonight that God showed me over my time with my broken foot. And I didn't realize everything he had showed me until I went back and started just talking about it and journaling it out. And I realized, oh my gosh, God, you did so much. And so the first thing is that when we sit, point number one, we hear the voice of God. I want to go back to Luke 10, verse number 39. It says, and she had a sister called Mary who, get this, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There's two things happening here. See, she first sat at Jesus' feet, and then she heard his word. See, Mary had to position herself at the feet of Jesus before she could hear his words. Notice this, Martha was missing what he was saying. And it's not because she wasn't in vicinity with him or in love with him or even doing the right thing, right? She's serving. This is what we were called to do. But she was missing the point of the moment. And Mary saw, no, right now I need to sit because there's something I need to hear, and I'm not going to hear it if I'm running back and forth trying to get this, and that done when really this is what needs to get done. And so I was thinking about it, and I was asking, like, Lord, like, is there anybody else in the Bible that we see who does this? And we actually see it in 1 Samuel 3. I don't have the verses up there. I'm just going to talk us through this story real quick. This is the story of Samuel. He was a prophet in the nation of Israel, a great man. He actually anointed King Saul and King David, the first two kings of Israel. And Samuel actually had really humble beginnings, though. His mother was not able to give birth to kids. She wasn't able to conceive. And so she prayed and asked God, and she got pregnant, and this was a miracle. And so when he was born, she said, I'm going to dedicate him back to the Lord. He'll serve his days in the temple of God. And so Samuel, from a young age, was in the temple serving God, learning from the priest there. And so the head priest, Eli, was kind of like his overseer. And so Samuel would serve Eli and serve the temple. And so one night, Samuel's laying down, and he hears this voice, Samuel. And he gets up, and he runs over to Eli, and he's like, Eli, what's up? What do you need from me? And Eli's like, I did not call you. Go back to sleep. Like, please don't wake me up. So he sends him back to sleep. This is my paraphrase, by the way. The Bible does not say that. He sends him back to sleep, and Samuel wakes up again later. Samuel. And he runs back over to Eli, and he's like, Eli, what do you need from me? And Eli's like, I did not call you. Please go back to sleep. And this happens a third time. He's called. He hears his name. He goes and runs to Eli, and finally Eli realizes, oh, Samuel, okay, here's what's happening. See, God is getting your attention. Next time you hear the voice call your name, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel goes back to bed. Sure enough, he hears the voice again, Samuel. And that time he doesn't get up. He doesn't run to go see what's needed of him or to go and do something. No, he stays put. And he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, it wasn't until Samuel stayed put, sat, laid there, said, God, what is it you have for me? What is it you're speaking to me, God? And it was in that moment that God began Samuel's prophetic ministry. He began to tell him things about the future, about the ministry, about the priest there and what was going to happen, and it all came to pass. But before he could get to that moment, he had to slow down, and he had to hear the voice of God. So when we sit, we hear the voice of God. Why is this? Well, when we're sitting, we are wholly connected. We are open and undistracted, and we are focused on God completely and entirely. And I have good news for you tonight. When you do that, it's not just going to be in vain. No, God's word will come to you, and it will refresh you. It'll overflow. It'll come into your life, and you'll go, wow, God, I see what you needed to tell me. I see what it is you're doing. I want to read with you Psalms 19. We're going to be in verses 7 through 8 and then jump down to verse number 10. And in Psalms 19, I love this psalm. It's just so beautiful. I encourage you to go back and read it in its entirety on your own. But I love this portion because it goes through what the Word of God does for us. So verse number 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Jump down to verse number 10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. See, when we sit, when we hear the voice of God, we can see that his word is perfect. His word makes us wise. His word brings rejoicing to our hearts. His word brings purity. It enlightens us. See, this word is to be more desired than the things of this world. This word is to be more desired than what we can get through our own physical work and gain. No, this is true success. This is true life. This is true substance. This is true faith. This is true gold, is the word of God. Why? Because it's going to convert your soul. You're going to see things differently. You're going to hear the voice of God. And as you go out and apply, you're going to see your life change. We're going to get into that in just a second. And you may be asking, gosh, like, how do I hear the voice of God, though? Like, I don't really know how to do that. Well, it's simple. We come. We sit. Right? There's a theme going on. We're sitting. We come and we sit. And we say, Holy Spirit, will you teach me? God, will you show me something different? Will you show me something new? And then I want to encourage you to open your Bibles. This is the Word of God. See, God wrote us a book. He literally wrote us a book through men and women inspired by his Holy Spirit. Over the span of generations and generations, it's a miracle that we have it. It is pure gold. It really is. It should not be here. And yet it is, and we have it so freely. There are countries and nations and peoples who, if they were even found with a page of the Bible, would be thrown in prison or put to death. And we have hundreds of versions of it on our phones, and we don't use it. We're literally throwing gold to the side, and God is saying, I have something to speak to you, and you're not opening my word. So if we would just open it, say, God, will you speak to me? And then read, and you're maybe going, oh, I've tried that. It's not fun. It's not easy. Chloe, it's boring. Listen, I've been there. There are some scriptures that maybe you read, and you're like, this does not make sense to me. You know, you're going through the genealogies of everybody, and you're like, what is a genealogy? And then it's like, this person gave birth to this person who gave birth to this person who gave birth. You're like, why do we need to know this? But let me tell you, there's gold found in that. If you would just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is it you're showing me through this? One time I was reading through the genealogies and I was going, wow, isn't it beautiful? God sees each and every one of these people. So much so that he thought to write their names down in the Bible. We don't know any of their stories. We know very few, but God saw it as important, and he sees me the same way he sees them. See, God will speak to you if you will ask. So I encourage you, get your Bible out. Get your journal out. Get your notes app out. And just begin to journal, just begin to write. Just tell God what's on your mind. Just tell him about your day. I find that when I journal and just tell God about my day, I am so refreshed. I am so nourished. God begins to speak to me. I tell him all about my day, and then at the very end, he's usually like, okay, well, you need to fix this. Or he's like, hey, you were stressing about that. It's okay, I got it. I got it, baby girl, don't worry. Right? And so if we take a moment to just sit, journal, listen, pray. Just talk to God like you do a friend. Talk to God like I'm talking to you right now. Hey, God, how are you? Hey, I don't know how to do this. Hey, God, I need answers in that. Hey, Lord, I'm feeling like this. Hey, Lord, I just wanted to praise you. I'm just feeling good today. Sometimes we forget to just praise God. And in these moments, we will hear his voice and be refreshed. So when we sit, we hear the voice of God. Number two, when we sit, real work is done. See, this is not a hustle. This is not the grind that we were talking about earlier. No, this is a true and deep work. This is a work that gets below the surface. This is a work that says, we have some things to do. You have some things that you've been hiding from me. You have some things that you've been hiding from yourself. You have some things that I've been asking you to do that you have not been doing. This is what the Lord was speaking to me. I was sitting there with my broken foot on my mattress, which was on the floor because I could not get on my bed. And I'm sitting on the floor like this with my feet out. This is like the position I assumed. Sitting here, I was like, I have so much time. My roommate's gone. I'm all alone. And the Lord was like, hi. We have some work to do. I've been asking you to sit with me and you have not been. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And so I was able to take time, and God began to show me things. He began to walk me through situations in my life, through things that had been stressing me out, taking up my cares, being like these worries that were weighing me down that I would just drag alongside me as I ran to and from all day long. And he said, you haven't had time to just sit. And as I was reading my Bible, as I was journaling, as I was praying, he began to show me, hey, we have some things here that we need to do. And he began to walk me through these processes. See, this real work searches the soul. This real work gets deep. This real work brings things to light. And maybe you're like, I don't want these things to be brought to light. Listen, God needs to bring them to light. He can't heal what is hidden. I wish I had the quote, but I was reading the book the other day. This author put it so beautifully. He said, listen, you can't heal what is hiding. But when we bring it to the light, then God, only then can God come in and bring you to a new life with him. So as we are doing this soul searching, as we are doing this deep like excavation of our hearts with God, we come to a place where we say, okay, God, it's all out for you to see now. Lord, I surrender it. And in that surrender, let me tell you, there's true freedom, there's true peace, there's true joy, there's true hope. There is direction and discernment for your life. There is a new way of doing things. As you begin to seek his word, he's going to show you a way of life that maybe you've never known before. Maybe your family grew up a certain way and you said, this is just how it's done and what we do. And as you open the word and you allow God to say, that's not how I do things, then you can walk with him and you can say, oh, I see that there is a new way. His word is a light to our feet and a lamp unto our path. There's this beautiful verse in Psalms 139. And this is a beautiful prayer. It's a dangerous prayer because God will take you up on it. But it's a beautiful prayer. And it's Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. And it says, search me, O God. Search me. And know my heart. Try me. And know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, this work is hard. It's not easy. I'm not telling you it's going to be fun. It's not. You're going to sit there like, why do we have to do this? Why do I have to talk about this with you, Lord? But look, God doesn't want your perfection. God doesn't want your primped up pretty self. God wants the ugly, the dirty, the beat down, and the broken, because that's what he came for. That's what he died for. He already has seen it. He has already died for it. He has already atoned for it. And he's saying, look, if you'll come sit with me, then we can do the work to get you into new life that I have for you. This beautiful life. Let me tell you, as God began to work with me over those 7 weeks, I began to feel so free. I was like, wow, God, I was worrying about things that you already have in your hands. God, I was putting you aside when you are the only one that can sustain me. And I began to have this new and deeper connection with him. And now there's just this beautiful friendship that I hadn't had with God before. He had brought me to a deeper place with him. And this brings me into our last point. When we sit, we are fully submitted. See, as he began to do that work and as I surrendered it and saw this life and these new things he had for me, I got to a place of submission where I said, okay, God, this is where I'm at. This right here is where I'm at. And this is where I need to be. This is where you have for me right now. And this was a place of preparation. This was a place of growth, of intimacy with him. So when we come and when we sit, we are fully submitted to Christ. I want to go back to Luke 10. We're actually going to jump down to verse 42, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. I just love how it puts it. It says, this is Jesus speaking to Martha. It says, Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. See, when we come and we sit, when we are fully submitted to him, it is a privilege. It is a blessing. It is a choice that we make that God will not take away from us. See, if you choose to come and sit, he's not going to reprimand you for that. No, he's asking it of you. So when we sit, it brings us to the submission. What is submission? Submission is simply just a coming under one's authority. And when we submit, we are saying, God, I'm coming under your authority. God, I'm putting you above and me below. God, I'm saying that the way you do things is the way that I want to do things. God, where you want me to go is where I want to go. God, what you want me to speak is the way I want to speak. God, the way you want me to live is the way I want to live. And then it is letting go of our desires and our old ways, and it's saying, God, I'm coming to you to do your will, your way. And it's allowing him and trusting him to do that work in our lives and to lead us where it is that we need to go. See, think of it like this. Who here has ever been the passenger in a car? Okay, I should see every hand raise. You got here somehow. unless you walked. But most of us could say, yes, I've been the passenger in a car, right? Or maybe on a plane or a bus or a train or some other form of transportation. And when you're sitting in whatever form of transportation you so choose, you're not driving, you're not active, you're not even standing, You're sitting. And you are fully submitted to the driver of that vehicle. No matter how good or bad of a driver they are. Hopefully they're good. And you're sitting there and you're trusting that they know the directions, that they know how to get there, that they know how to drive this vehicle. They're going to keep you safe and get you there on time. See, when we are fully submitted to God, we are putting him in the driver's seat. And we're taking, not even a passenger seat, we're taking a back seat. And we're going, God, I'm just going to rest here. I'm just going to sit here for a second. Because you know where you're leading me. You know where we're going. You know the way. You know how to get there. You're going to keep me safe. And you're going to get me there on time, God. Hey, you may have taken me on that detour for 7 weeks sitting in my dorm room wondering why my foot is broken. But God knew what he was doing. What detour does God have you on right now? What areas did you think, gosh, I thought I would be here by now and I'm not? Maybe God is saying, no. We have some other things we need to do first. I have some other areas I need to lead you in before we get there. He's saying, don't worry. I know how to get there. I just need you to trust me. I just need you to submit. I just need you to come under my authority and say, I trust you, God. I surrender this to you. I submit to you. Lord, you know the way. Lord, you know my purpose. Lord, you know my calling. Lord, you know exactly what it is you have for me. God, I am submitted to you, and allow him to be the driver of your life. I was thinking about it, and I was like, gosh, when you're sitting, there's a lack of striving. And here's why, because sitting is the opposite of striving. When you sit, there is rest involved, whether you're trying to or not. Why? Because you're taking a load off. You don't have to carry it. You don't even have to carry yourself. You're allowing whatever you're sitting on to carry you. It's carrying your weight for you. So there's a rest that happens when we sit, and there is a lack of striving. We're saying, God, I'm done doing my own thing. God, I want you and your way. I want what you have for me. I want your past. I want your goodness. I want your grace. I want your intimacy, God. I want your plan. And as we sit and we come to this place with him, he is so faithful and just to meet us there. He is so faithful and just to say, my child, I've been waiting. I've been sitting here. Keeping your seat warm. I knew you'd come. Will you come sit with me? And this is his call to you tonight. See, by the end of those 7 weeks, I was actually really sad when I had my doctor's appointment to take my boot off. I know that sounds so funny. You're like, you broke your foot. Like, don't you want to walk? But I was so blessed. I was so filled. I was so overjoyed in the time that I found with the Lord, whether it was in chapel, whether it was in my dorm room, whether it was at home, wherever I was, I had just found such peace resting in him, doing the work, learning from him, seeking him in a way that I never have before, growing in intimacy and relationship with my Lord and Savior and my best friend. And so tonight, I know some of us are coming off of maybe a fast that we've been doing, and maybe there's been things God's been showing you. You've been going deeper with the Lord. Maybe you've had seasons in your life in the past, and you're going, gosh, I wish I could just get back to that moment. I felt so close to God. He was speaking so much to me. He's been doing so much. And you're going, gosh, I don't want this to end. I don't want that moment to end. I don't want to get back to the busyness. I don't want to get back to the old way of doing things. And yet God is saying, you don't have to. See, the circumstance may change. The boot may come off. The fast may end. Camp may not be today, but it is coming. Please register. Please register. Your kids are going to have a great time. But the Lord is saying, you can still have that with me. The lessons that I've taught you, the places I've brought you, the provision I've given you, the things that we have begun to go through, the new lifestyle you saw yourself living, the new mindsets you saw yourself walking in, those things don't have to end here. You can come at any moment and sit with me. He's saying, come, I've been waiting for you. Will you take a load off? Will you come sit? Because when we sit, we hear the voice of God. When we sit, real work is done. And when we sit, we are fully submitted to our Lord and Savior. So here's what I want to do. We're all sitting. And I love when we do this in our morning services. I just want to take a few minutes for us to each take a moment with God. So I want to encourage you, whatever you need to do to get undistracted, if you need to close your eyes, if you need to turn your phone off, if you need to set things aside, or maybe you need to open your journal because you hear from the voice of God through writing, whatever it is, I want you to take a moment and say, God, I'm here. God, I recognize that you're here. I'm here to sit with you. Lord, what is it you're speaking to me tonight? What areas do I need to surrender to you? What work do you have to be done in my life? Lord, how can I submit myself to you today? This week, on the daily. Lord, where can I prioritize you better in my life? Maybe you have a question or an answer that you've been needing. Now's the time. Ask God and then listen for his voice. Feel that the Lord is saying, some of you have been wrestling with me in this call that I've been giving you to come and sit with me, to come and rest. Been making excuses, telling me what you have to do, but I have something greater. I have something deeper and stronger for you. If you will just come and take time, lay aside your distractions and set yourself up with me for a portion of your day, you'll see me flow into the rest of it. Come and surrender the weights and the cares, the burdens, the things, because I want to carry those for you. Those were never meant to be your burdens. They were never meant to be your weights. Those are mine. I love you, my child. Come home to me. Come sit. Let's commune. Let's be intimate in our relationship. Let's share with one another. I have great things for you if you'll just listen. If you'll come, if you'll slow down and surrender yourself to me. Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, for communing with us, Father, for taking time to be with each and every one of us individually, because you care about each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that these are your children, that, Lord, you desire an intimate and close relationship with them, and that, Lord, as we prioritize time slowing down, and living a life of sitting with you, Lord, that, Lord, you will begin to do a new work in our lives. You will begin to teach us things and show us things, God, that we would not have known otherwise. Lord, you begin to show us new things that you have for us and restore the things that have been lost. And, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you, God, we can find full rest. Lord, that the striving has to go in the name of Jesus. I pray a peace, a protection, a covering, a grace, an anointing, and a joy over this audience here tonight, God, that, Lord, each and every person in this room will be filled and whole in you, God, and that as we go out of these doors, that we will not leave this here, Lord, but that we will take this with us and implement it, God. Lord, that we will take time daily. Lord, that we will begin to slow down and come and be with you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing here. In your name we pray. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand? Listen, we're not done, so if you all could just stay seated for one moment. Some of us here do not have a personal relationship with this God that I have been talking about. And as you've heard tonight, he is not a far-off God. He has not made you and then left you. He has not abandoned you. He is not mad at you. He's actively seeking out relationship with you. You may be going, listen, I've grown up in church. I've heard this my whole life. I think I'm good. You know, I'm doing my own thing. God sees me. He knows me. He knows my heart. He knows where I'm at. You know, I'll make things right with him later. I've got time. Got lots of time. And let me tell you, we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming back. The Bible says that he comes like a thief in the night. It'll be unexpected. We can know the times and the seasons. And let me tell you, it's coming fast. And so tonight, the question I have for you is, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, who came and died, who resurrected, who took the keys of sin and death, and who now is offering you life in him? Listen, this is not something to be taken lightly. This is not just one of many religions. This is not just one thing out there for you to try. No, this is the way, the truth, and the life. See, God is actively seeking you out. And you may go, wow, she just got really intense. I did, because this is important for your life. See, God wants you, but God wants change in you. You can't just come to church, sit in a seat, call yourself a Christian, and that makes you a Christian. There has to be an active transformation of your life, a surrender that says, God, I can't do this. Repentance that says, Lord, I am sorry for what I have done. And I'm going to turn away from this old way of life, and I am turning towards you. And then a filling. See, God fills us with his spirit and shows us how to live out life with him. And so tonight, some of us have been dabbling with the world. We've been living apart from God. Maybe some of you have been in your own way of doing things. Maybe that societal way that we were talking about, the norm of this world is your norm. It's your daily. And I'm not trying to condemn you for that, but I am saying, look, that is not how God has called us to live. See, he has a new way, a way that brings true life, a way that brings intimacy and connection with him, a way that brings freedom. Maybe you're like, geez, I've just been feeling so chained up. I don't think a God like this would ever want me. Let me tell you, he wants you. He's wanted you since the day you were born. He's known you. He has seen you. He has loved you. But he can't just leave you the way you are. No, he's asking that you would come, repent, surrender your life to him, and he will transform you from the inside out. You will be a new creation in him. See, some of us may think that we're good. I live a good life. But God is saying, no, there's a new way and a new life that I bring. And so tonight, wherever you are, I'm going to ask in just a second that you would raise your hand if you want to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you've never made this decision before and you're feeling like this is it. You're feeling that tug. You're feeling that call, come to me. That's the Holy Spirit getting your attention. Maybe your heart's beating fast, you're starting to sweat, you're feeling a little uncomfortable. Listen, God is trying to get your attention tonight. So in just a moment, I'm gonna count to three. And if you need to give your heart and life to Jesus, I'm gonna ask that you raise your hand, because it says in the Bible, when we confess before man, Jesus will confess before our Father in heaven. So make this choice tonight. See, God is calling you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you, but he needs you to make that choice on your own. So if you have been running away from God and not towards him, I'm speaking to you. If you've been doing your own thing, if you've been going the ways of this world instead of God's way, I'm speaking to you. If you've given God just a little bit of your life, but not your whole life, I'm speaking to you. Listen, tonight is the night. Today is the day of salvation. So if that's you and you need a relationship with the Lord and you want to surrender your life to him, I'm going to count to three. Ready? One, two, three. If you could just raise your hands. If anyone here, thank you. I see that hand. He's calling you home tonight. He's asking that you would come and surrender your life to him. That you would come and learn and grow and submit to him. Anybody else? You're saying, I need that. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? You're saying, I need God tonight. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? You're going, that's me. I want to know my Lord and Savior. I want to live a life with him. Anyone else? Did I miss any hands? I feel that there's one more person. You've been running from God. Tonight's the night. Come home. He's waiting for you. So I'm going to sweep the room one more time. Anyone else? Listen, we're not here to embarrass you. We're here to encourage you. This is the best decision you can ever make. Anyone else? You say, I need God. All right. Well, can we give a hand for three people? Listen, the Bible says when just one person gives their life, the angels rejoice in heaven. And so we have three times the party tonight. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that everybody stand to their feet. And if you raised your hand, I would like to just pray with you. But I would love for you to come up to the front so we could pray this prayer together. So can we encourage those believers who are coming to the Lord tonight? If you raise your hand, please just come on down.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Anybody else, if you need to come, the altars are open. If you need to give your heart and life to Jesus, they're still coming. Anybody else? He's calling you home today. Hello. You guys are making the best decision of your lives. This is a new start. God loves you. He sees you. He cares about you. You are not too far gone for him. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to release you guys. But in this prayer, it's not about the words. It's not about what we're saying, but about our heart posture. God hears us. And in this, we are inviting him to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, repenting and saying, God, I'm going to turn from my ways and towards your ways. And then he comes and he fills us with his Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. So everyone here is going to pray this prayer with us together. So if we all could bow our heads and close our eyes. And everybody just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, beaten and broken. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We repent. We turn from our old ways. And we turn towards you. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. renew and restore my life, and help me to walk on this path with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give them a hand? Listen, you guys, there is no commitment worth anything without consistency. What does that mean? That means that you don't get strong by going to the gym once. And in the same way, you're not going to get strong spiritually by just coming to church one time. So I want to ask you, commit this next year. Commit this next year to coming. Come be a part of our church. Come be a part of our family. We have so many services, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Saturday morning. We have so many opportunities for you to get in the house. Read your Bible, pray, seek God. If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you. We would love to meet with you. So I'm gonna ask you guys turn. We have Pastor Joel right here. He's gonna just give you some free literature about what your next steps are with God, and then he's gonna let you go. Can we give them a hand? Well, guys, in true fashion, I went way over time, so. I'm going to pray us out, and you guys are going to be dismissed. Hey, I want to encourage you this week, get alone with God. Sit with him. Spend time with him. Allow him to do the work. Allow him to speak and submit to him. You're going to see your life change. If you all could just raise your hands. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for this time, this communion here with you, Lord, tonight, for your word that you've spoken. Lord, may it produce fruit in our lives, Lord. We pray, God, that as we come and spend intimate time sitting with you, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us in a deeper and new way, God. Lord, lead us in your path and in your ways, Lord. I pray protection and safety over this congregation. Lord, may they be the lights wherever they go throughout this week, God. So, Lord, I pray, God, that in their coming and their going, that everything they put their hand to, Lord, that they will prosper. And Lord, I just pray, God, and we shout with a great big shout, Lord, that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Thank you guys for coming.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.